on, everybody? It's your buddy, it's your pals, Pass Phoenix, the YWC Reality Check, and we are 1 week away from WrestleMania, and I don't mind telling you, I'm pretty damn hyped about this year's WrestleMania / Stand and Deliver. Now, I'm not going to be talking about Stand and Deliver in this particular podcast. I'm going to keep it to WrestleMania, but there's always the chance in wrestling when you get really, really hyped for something that it could fall flat, that it could fall apart, that it could leave you deflated and leave you with that feeling of, oh, this is the last thing we wanted to happen. So, with a card that looks so good on paper and that admittedly is not entirely full yet, I thought I could take a look at what we know about so far / what's rumored and think, what would the worst case scenario be? Because if we start with the worst case scenario, then I can roll into next week. I can see the Raw before WrestleMania. I can see the SmackDown before WrestleMania. I can get past Stand and Deliver, and I can go to WrestleMania and think, all right, it can't be any worse than this. So I've got the card. I'm going to pull some shit off the top of my head. Of course, these podcasts are always great things to do when I'm really tired, so a lot of these answers are going to be really simple. A lot of them are going to be a little bit more complicated. And when I say worst case scenario, I mean stuff that I'm not going to like, stuff that I think the fans in general aren't going to like, stuff that I think won't work, and stuff that I think will be a bad decision by WWE in the long run. It's bad from many different perspectives. And we'll start because thank you to NoDQ.com, because they've given us a preliminary list of who is in the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal on WrestleMania SmackDown this Friday. I know that doesn't technically count as WrestleMania, but it is what it is. Andrade, Ricochet, Chad Gable, Bronson Reed, Shinsuke Nakamura, Omos, Brutus Creed, Julius Creed, Ivar, Akira Tozawa, Otis, JD McDonough, Apollo Crews, Veer Sangha, Cameron Grimes, Kit Wilson, Elton Prince, Ashante the Adonis, and Cedric Alexander. Now, I'm not going to tell you who I want to win this. That'll come in my preview later on this week, hopefully with some company. Let's cross our fingers. But I'll tell you the worst thing that could happen here, and it's a pretty easy answer. The worst thing that could happen here is what happens every year. The match won't matter, the winner won't matter, and the person who wins will continue to not matter after the fact. I mean, you take a look at Cesaro, you take a look at Big Show, you take a look, and I'm going to include Baron Corbin, even though Baron Corbin is in the form of his life right now down in NXT. Come fight me, you'll be arguing with the wall. I mean, there's people in here that should be doing other things. Let's be real. Andrade just came back. Ricochet's in there. He could be doing something else. All kinds of things like that. There's no bad winner in here because, like, I don't know what to say. It doesn't matter. The ultimate thing that they could do with this to change us around is pick a winner and do something with them. But we'll get into that. That would be a positive. We'll get into that in a different pod at a different time. But taking a look at the people that are here, I don't hold very high hopes for the match. I don't hold very high hopes for the winner. And the worst case scenario is what will almost surely happen, is that the match will pass and it won't matter. And it'll carry on from there. I don't think, at least at this point, that they're doing a women's battle royal. I think it would have been announced by now if they were. There's been a lot of banter about that on X recently, and I'm not going to delve into that pool on X tonight. I'm not going to do that. But, yeah, it's there. It's there to get people on the card, I guess. Now, also from NoDQ.com and not officially announced as of yet, apparently there's going to be a Philadelphia street fight because it's in Philadelphia. Obviously. And it's going to be Bobby Lashley and company taking on Karrion Kross and company. Now, it's going to be under street fight rules. I'm pretty sure the ladies are going to get involved. B-Fab and Scarlett will probably get involved if it's a no disqualification type situation. And the worst thing that could happen here is Bobby Lashley and his buddies winning. Now, that's not a dig at Bobby Lashley. That's not a dig at the Street Profits. Let me be clear. But they don't need it. This win to them won't mean anything because, as I will get into when I properly preview the show, as much as I want to love this match and I want to love this faction warfare thing, there's another faction warfare thing on SmackDown that is outshining this by miles and days. The ones that desperately need it are Karrion Kross and the Authors of Pain, because there has been an apathy in their presentation by WWE that has been met by an even louder apathy on social media and from the crowds, etc. Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits winning this won't get them anything. Karrion Kross and the Authors of Pain losing this would be the nail in their coffin. So, what are they called? The Final Testament. Losing this is probably your worst case scenario. Now, controversial one is another one that hasn't technically been announced yet, but I mean, we saw the setup for it on Friday on SmackDown, and that's the debuting Jade Cargill teaming with Bianca Belair and Naomi to take on all the members of Damage Control that aren't Io Sky. And there's layers to this. The worst possible scenario for this match, and it's more so from like social opinion, online opinion, people with doing identity politics nonsense, the worst possible scenario for this match is Damage Control wins and Dakota Kai is the one that gets the pin. Because here's the thing, Damage Control ain't winning this match. If they were to win this match, and it would be by the only member of the team that doesn't have a championship in, around their waist, it doesn't help Kairi Sane and Io Sky, or Kairi Sane and Asuka, does it, to have the only member on their team who's not a champion be the one that has to get the win. Now, if you're Dakota Kai, you don't want to be booked to be the one that gets the pin in this match, because you're going to get a ridiculous amount of hate. Here's the deal. People already have it said in their entitled heads that Bianca Belair should be the next person to have a streak at WrestleMania. Now, I've been reliably told by people that suddenly find it really cool and cliche to hate The Undertaker that streaks are bad, and streaks bury everybody, but I guess if it's Bianca Belair, that's okay. So this streak that people think was promised to them, that was never actually promised to them, being taken away and her being pinned would set a fire on the internet. Same thing if Dakota Kai pins Naomi. You would immediately get the, oh my god, this is why she walked out in the first place. She should have never came back. She was doing better in TNA. That will be the only time any of these people will ever say anything nice about TNA, by the way. Equally cringe, equally, like, you just don't want that on Dakota Kai's shoulders, considering she's been injured for a year and just came back. And very, very similar if Dakota, I mean, as hilarious as it would be, if Dakota Kai pinned Jade Cargill, you would get the same from the other side. Oh my god, she never should have left TNA, da-da-da-da-da, this is how they're going to treat, AEW. She never should have left AEW, this is why nobody should come over from AEW. Now, Malakai Black and Buddy Matthews and Sammy Guevara and whoever else wants to come over, look at what they did to Jade Cargill. They, shock horror, made her eat a pin. Now, I don't want Jade Cargill to get pinned. That's not my problem. But here's the thing. There is no way society at large lets Bianca Belair and company lose this match, even though there's champions on the other side. But a champion pinning somebody who's not a champion would at least make it a little bit more digestible, but Dakota Kai being the one to get that pin, if they were going to get it, it just sets up a really rough trail for her with the fans for the next little while, because we know the most toxic fans are also the loudest, so let's just not do that. I'd love to say how I want that match to end, but again, I've got a preview coming up, and this is only worst-case scenarios and scenarios we don't want to see. LA Knight versus AJ Styles. Now I'm back onto WWE.com. Now we've got all the official matches to talk about. As I said, everything up until this point has been speculation. The 3-on-3 ladies match is pretty damn sure it's confirmed. I don't think that should be happening that way, by the way. I think if you did Dakota Kai versus Jade Cargill as a singles match, and Dakota Kai can eat a loss, that's not a big deal, and Jade Cargill can just come in and show what she can do. She's a powerful person. You could just have her manhandle somebody half her size in Dakota Kai, have a good first showing, have a good first debut match, and have the other two go for the tag titles, because at least then the tag titles would be represented on the show. And you'd have two women's matches instead of one, which would quell that feminist portion of X a little bit more. So it's already the worst case scenario. The Dakota Kai getting a pin in that scenario is like the worst case scenario within a worst case scenario. But that match hasn't technically been announced yet, so we don't know what it is. Maybe it'll be an elimination. Maybe we can really piss people off. The Philadelphia Street Fight, like I say, per NoDQ.com, is only rumored. Hasn't been announced yet. The same thing with the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. Got that from NoDQ as well. So that list of people that I rang off could be wrong, could be added to, could be subtracted from, could be moved to the card. We still have a week to go, and there's still one more match yet to be announced that they're not talking about. But I'm going to go over to WWE.com now, where we have the matches that are confirmed. LA Knight versus AJ Styles. Kind of wish there was a gimmick attached to this. LA Knight has to win. So, worst case scenario is AJ Styles wins, because LA Knight should be at WrestleMania. LA Knight should get a win at WrestleMania. People last year, when it was in LA, thought like it was the biggest missed shot ever. Now, I think they're exaggerating a little bit, but I don't entirely disagree with them. AJ Styles doesn't really have any particular kind of momentum right now. So this wouldn't be AJ Styles winning. In a lot of people's minds, this would just be LA Knight losing. And a lot of people are behind LA Knight right now, so just give them what they want. The worst case scenario for LA Knight versus AJ Styles is LA Knight loses. Now, we move on to something that's a little bit more fun, the six-pack ladder match for the Undisputed WWE Tag Team Championships. Now, there are rumors and innuendos about a team being taken out of this match and being replaced by another team that I'm not going to talk about right now. I'm going to talk about that in the preview as well, unless they touch on it on Raw, then I'll just talk about it when I talk about Raw. But I'm taking this match right now as it exists on my screen, and there's a lot of really cool options here. I'm not going to say who I want to win this, but if I go through, I mean, you got Waller and Theory, they'd be a couple of obnoxious guys to knock off for a future challenger. DIY finally making their WrestleMania debut. The New Catch Republic of Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate is interesting. New Day, always add to any match. I'm going to say worst case scenario is Awesome Truth wins. Now, that's going to sound funny because R-Truth has his sort of very, very small version of Sami Zayn in the Bloodline with the Judgment Day, and there's a revenge factor there, and you feel bad for him because he was taken advantage of, and then he had the shit beat out of him and whatever. And that's all fine and well. So I could see a couple people wanting R-Truth to get that revenge on the largest stage. And I mean, when has R-Truth ever really won anything of significance at WrestleMania? I don't think it's ever happened. And if you want to make a case that he deserves to have a moment like that, I would absolutely agree with you. Here's the thing. Him and Miz getting back together as Awesome Truth is a nostalgia act. And there's a big vocal portion of the wrestling community that are like dead set against nostalgia acts, whether they're good or bad. And there's a couple of people out there that are dead set against ever giving Miz the credit that he deserves for anything ever. So I think it would be a quick pop for R-Truth, and then it would fizzle, and then people would use this as a jumping off point for like, see, we told you WWE was never going to book the tag team titles properly, even though the tag team titles were in one of, and I'm using this in tight air quotes because it was night one of the main events last year at WrestleMania. I think it's far too easy. I think you've got teams in there that look like teams. The New Day looks like a team. Judgment Day looks like a team. DIY looks like a team. We're happy to see them at WrestleMania, or at least I am. Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate are thrown together, but they already have a history of being in a team with Mustache Mountain, with British Strong Style, with Trent Seven, who's actually currently working over in TNA, and also still the Destiny World Wrestling Championship. Check it off your Spaz Phoenix bucket list. It's fine. So I think one of the two only teams in here that look like a thrown-together team. They look like a thrown-together team. They look like a nostalgia act, and people only like one of the members in it. So I think their WWE is opening themselves up for a lot of undeserved criticism if they give it to Miz and R-Truth. And I'm sorry, like, as much as I will wave the flag for Miz all day because he's a really, really underrated guy, there's guys in here that I want to see win this match more. And when we get into that other rumor that has been circulating recently, that might tip the scales entirely into a new conversation. But I'm going to say worst case scenario for the six-pack ladder match is Awesome Truth get the win. Jey Uso versus Jimmy Uso. Now, initially, I thought worst case scenario is Jey Uso losing. Now, I'm going to tell you why that is, and then I'm going to tell you what I changed my mind to. Because the way that they have built these two guys, Jimmy's playing a great role, Jay's playing a great role. It's not that either one of them is doing bad. It's you have to take a look at what their roles are. Jey Uso broke off from a tag team, and yes, he went and won tag team gold with Cody Rhodes, so he stayed in a tag team for a while, but his whole thing has been breaking away, being main event Jey Uso, being a singles guy, not being a tag team guy anymore, not depending on anybody else, not depending on a tag team, not depending on a faction, not depending on any of that. Jimmy has not had the confidence to do that. He will probably at some point this year just be a tag team with Solo Sikoa, or we can talk about some of the other people that are rumored to come in after WrestleMania that would fit the Bloodline mold. But he's stayed with the faction. He's stayed with his other brother. He's stayed, you know, sort of under the heavy fist of Roman Reigns and now under the eyebrow of The Rock. So the guy that's doing it basically on his own versus the guy that in his own head, in his own heart and head and soul and all that sort of thing, knows that he can't do it on his own, there's something to Jimmy winning not making any sense. Now, one thing further from that is to build on that same thought, Solo Sikoa's not doing anything, and the Bloodline is still a thing. The Bloodline has been associated with other people. Bloodline has been associated with the Judgment Day at various points. Bloodline has been associated with Drew McIntyre, which we're going to talk about later, at various points. So worse than Jimmy Uso winning, which would be bad, would be if this is just a schmoz and doesn't get to be a one-on-one match, because that's what Jey Uso needs. He tried to break away from the Bloodline and bring his brother with him, and his brother stayed and he left. This match needs to prove that Jey made the right decision. More importantly, this match needs to prove that Jimmy made the wrong decision. So if Jimmy gets help and Jimmy gets proven right, and there's all kinds of Bloodline nonsense that messes up this match, not only does that just make it a fuck finish, but it's also the wrong winner. So those two things combined are the worst case scenario. Gunther versus Sami Zayn is an interesting one. Because I like both guys, and I want to see both guys in the main title picture. People are already fantasy booking Gunther for Cody Rhodes' opponent next year. Now, when CM Punk got injured and was like, oh, who's going to face Seth Rollins at Mania before all the tag stuff got involved, I thought, what if they book Sami Zayn to pull himself up by his bootstraps and get up to Seth Rollins' level by WrestleMania, have him fluke an Elimination Chamber thing or whatever, right? So, to say that either one of these guys winning is bad is really hard to say, because Sami Zayn's awesome, Gunther's done an amazing job with the Intercontinental Championship, but I want to see both of them in that world title echelon, and we've already seen Sami Zayn get there once, and he could get there again. Gunther, on the other hand, he's... it's not a consolation prize, but he's made history with that Intercontinental Championship. And if he's not going to be in the world title picture, then he might as well keep making history with the title that he's got and let Sami Zayn look higher and get to that either him versus Seth or him versus Drew, or maybe somewhere down the line him versus Punk would be awesome. So, I'm going to say that the worst case scenario is Sami Zayn winning, and people are going to think I'm crazy, but that's what I'm going with. The other title that's not nearly in as good a form, but is much more interesting, is the United States Championship with Logan Paul, Kevin Owens, and Randy Orton. And I'm going to say it right off the bat, Randy Orton winning is your worst case scenario, because Randy Orton's the kind of guy that doesn't need anything added to his resume right now. And people are on the fence about Randy Orton. He's come back. He's been great. The dude's in ridiculous shape. Obviously, he's come back from all the injuries he's come back with. But he's at that stage in his career. He's approaching John Cena territory where you don't need more accolades. You know, you need stories. You need interactions with people that we haven't ever seen you interact with before. But he doesn't need another title. So I'm going to say that there's a couple different directions you can go with Logan Paul keeping that title. There's a couple different directions you can go with Kevin Owens winning that title. I'm going to get more into what I want to see when we get into the preview. But I think, quite frankly, Randy Orton winning the title is the boring example. And that's really harsh to say, but it's one of those, you know, sometimes the title makes the man, sometimes the man makes the title. I don't particularly think either one of those happens with Randy Orton, with all due respect. That's one I don't have much to say about. Okay. Rhea Ripley, Becky Lynch. It's not a result that is the problem here. I mean, you guys can guess who I want to win this. I mean, we'll talk about it in the preview, but you guys know. I've said that the difference between this match and the Bayley and Io match is one is a really good story and one is just a big fucking star versus big fucking star fireworks match. My worst case scenario here is not necessarily who wins. My worst case scenario is if this match underdelivers. My worst case scenario is if this match is somehow boring or lackluster. If this match is not one of the most talked about matches at the end of the weekend, that's the worst case scenario. You can say, you know, there's people that are coming out of the woodwork that hate Becky Lynch now for some reason. There's some conversation going around, spurred on by Becky Lynch, with some very strange comments about Rhea Ripley on the other side of the coin. I think Rhea Ripley's done an amazing job with that title. I think Becky Lynch has done a great job across the board leveling her game up to remind people exactly what she brings to the table. So there's not a win or a loss that would bum me out here. I genuinely think if this is not one of the, maybe not bell-to-bell, five stars in the Tokyo Dome technical classic by any stretch of the imagination, but that's not what I want from either of these women anyway. If this match is boring, if this match somehow isn't interesting, which would go against everything that both of these ladies are, if this match underdelivers, if it's boring, if it isn't interesting, if it's just a match that's there, especially after what we saw with Rhea Ripley and Charlotte last year, that will be the biggest disappointment. If I don't come out of WrestleMania talking about this match, if I don't come to you guys with a review excited to talk to you about this match specifically, that's the worst case scenario for that one. Now, the other side of the coin is Io Sky, Bayley. We got the dissemination of the damage control. If this just becomes a pile of people match and all the six participants from the six-woman tag start piling into this and it doesn't end up being a one-on-one scenario, that's probably the worst-case scenario. I know who I want to win, and I know who WWE wants me to want to win. Again, that's a conversation for another day, but this is another one, much like the Jay and Jimmy thing, where if this just becomes a pile of people and it doesn't become a match that is the story in and of itself, there's your big disappointment there, is if it's muddled. And again, if this isn't a complete show up and show out for both of these ladies, I'll be really bummed. If they use this to somehow, like, I don't know, introduce some new people, or hey, you know, Damage Control has a new member and it's this person, and they come and they low blow Bayley, or not low blow. I mean, actually, technically you can low blow, because they did low blows on NXT the other week. If this doesn't actually get to play out as a cool story solidification, regardless of the winner and the loser, if this doesn't become an absolute on-point solidification of every reason why Bayley is suddenly a face again, then it kind of fails, because leading up to this, they kind of snapped their fingers and said, oh yeah, by the way, Bayley's a face again. The task that they've put in front of themselves right now is to make that make sense, because right now, as a criticism, we all wanted this match to happen. We all knew the dissolution of Damage Control was going to happen. But you have to kind of make sense of, I've done all these terrible things, but please cheer me now. That's their job. Tell that story. Tell the story of why she's suddenly a face again and why that makes sense. Okay. The match that has the most possibility of falling down at WrestleMania, the match that has everything going against it, realistically speaking, is Seth Rollins versus Drew McIntyre. they're fighting over the title that people refuse to recognize. We know that this was going to be CM Punk before CM Punk got injured, so Drew McIntyre is a replacement, so we're going to be thinking about that. The biggest problem here is neither one of, like, nobody really cares about this match, including the people that are in it. So they're already in the worst case scenario in this case because it doesn't seem like a match that needs to happen. The fans don't care about it, both for real reasons and for fake reasons. You know, people insist on, oh, you know, we're not going to recognize that world title, even though we've had a world title in WWE before. It's fine. Seth Rollins is kind of a third character in another match. Drew McIntyre is the substitute for CM Punk, and he's been having a rivalry with CM Punk, even though CM Punk hasn't been there. So Seth Rollins is thinking about the tag match. Drew McIntyre is thinking about CM Punk. The fans know this. The fans are shitting on the title. They've been shitting on the title since Seth Rollins won it. So they're already in the worst case scenario with this one, where there's a whole lot of reasons where this match can't happen. And what they have to do, because this will be happening after the tag match, this will be in the aftermath of the tag match, so I don't know what that story looks like. They have to make you care. Because right now, we don't. Or right now, like, a match for match's sake, Seth Rollins versus Drew McIntyre isn't going to be a bad match. Seth Rollins versus Drew McIntyre in a WrestleMania setting for a title, even though people don't want to like the title, is going to be a good match. But for storyline purposes and for the focus of everybody involved, the fans are going to be thinking, oh, well, CM Punk's on commentary, so that's something we should talk about. But the number one thing is it's already in its worst case scenario because nobody in the match feels like they care about the match. And you have to do a lot to convince the fans that that's not true. On top of that, however, it has the same problem as Io Bailey. It has the same problem as Jimmy and Jay. There's so much external stuff going on that if this match becomes a schmoz, if CM Punk goes in and hits somebody with his cast, and he goes for Drew and he hits Seth by accident, and, you know, the bloodline come out because they got to repay Drew for what he did for them last week, and it becomes a schmoz of a match that people already weren't into because we already thought, like, the dominoes are stacked for the worst case scenario to land on this match, and it's already kind of happening and we're not even there yet. So this one could fall apart. This one could absolutely fall apart. Now, the two matches that are inextricably linked, The Rock and Roman Reigns taking on Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins. Because we have The Rock, and The Rock is awesome, and Roman Reigns is awesome, and this is all going to feed into the night too, and all that kind of thing. The worst case scenario for this tag match is that the babyfaces win. Because the way the scenario goes is if the heels win, it's Bloodline rules the next night. And that allows for all the chaos. The reason that I've been nailing down on Jimmy versus Jay, on Seth versus Drew, on Bailey versus Io, on all these matches that are fraught with possibilities for interference and whatnot, is because it needs to mean something in the last match, because it's going to be Bloodline rules. If it's not Bloodline rules, then people are getting excited about a stipulation that's not happening. But here's the other side of the coin as well, is WWE knows at this point, under the auspice of Triple H and all that, WWE knows that the fans aren't stupid. They're actually treating the fans like they're not stupid. If the babyfaces win, and the stipulation is put on the match that all the Bloodline members are removed from ringside, it's going to be, you know, the doth protest too much situation where as soon as you say the Bloodline isn't getting involved the next night, then we know the Bloodline is going to get involved the next night. And it's one of those, don't leave night one with a whole other night of WrestleMania to go with the last thing you do on that night being insulting the fans' intelligence, because that's really terrible. And also, it gets a whole lot less exciting if Roman Reigns versus Cody Rhodes doesn't have every single bell and whistle possible. We've talked about it before, you know, Jimmy will be there, Jay will be there, Solo will be there, The Rock, Paul Heyman. People are speculating, like, Naomi and Nia Jax and, you know, Jacob Fatu is going to come in, and Tama Tonga is going to come in, and Cody's got his Avengers in the form of Seth Rollins and Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn and Jey Uso and all this stuff, and they're going to bring in legends, you know, people that feuded with The Rock, like Hulk Hogan and John Cena and everything under the sun. Let people keep thinking that's going to happen for another 24 hours. Because if you don't, people are going to be like, oh, all my fantasy booking just went out the window. And then they'll go into it thinking, they'll go into night two thinking, oh, well, it's going to be good, but eh, whatever. Now, that feeds into the last match, night two. Roman Reigns, Cody Rhodes. I'm not a Cody guy. I've had a lot of conversation with you guys over the past little while since he came back to the WWE. I'm not a Cody guy, but I can't deny the bigness of Cody. And I don't believe that this is his story. I don't believe that the toppling of the bloodline is his story. I don't think he deserves to be the one to topple the bloodline because he wasn't there when the bloodline was formed and created and the majority of that story took place. Personally, I don't believe that. But it doesn't matter. Because WWE have done a good enough job of convincing enough people that collapsing the Roman Empire is Cody Rhodes' path to take. Should have been Sami Zayn, it should have been Jey Uso, but it's not. It's going to be Cody Rhodes, and if you bring them to the promised land 2 years in a row and drop the ball on it 2 years in a row. I don't think last year was a dropped ball, by the way, because it gave Cody and all of his fans another whole year of things to bitch about. And that's been the majority of his promos. Let's be real. Cody's promos are good, but a lot of it is just, I didn't win, and my mixed baby and my black wife and my dead dad and my super popular brother are all very, very upset. But enough people buy into it. Enough people have bought that ending the bloodline sits on the shoulders of Cody Rhodes. I don't like it. I really don't. I think in a WWE that is flourishing, in a WWE that is on fire right now, in a WWE that is filling buildings to the point where they have to tear down the Titantron and bring in a smaller one, and they've already announced it for Money in the Bank, so let's not just pretend it's WrestleMania season. In a WWE that's doing that well right now, it is the hugest plot hole. The idea that it is Cody's destiny to dethrone Roman Reigns, it's Cody's destiny to take down the bloodline, is the most flawed thing in WWE right now. But enough people buy it. Enough people buy it. And if Cody loses again, they're going to do their mini Daniel Bryan yes movement thing, and we're going to get this match again next year. We're going to get Cody winning the Rumble for a third time, and they're going to compare him to Stone Cold and whatever. So please, for the sake of my sanity, don't beat Cody Rhodes again. That's it. That's all. The worst case scenario is Cody Rhodes loses again. It just is. Bring in all the bells and whistles. Get everybody you can involved. Get Brandi Rhodes out there kicking Paul Heyman in the nuts. Save all the other matches that I've spoken about from all of their fuck finishes. Make this the most orgiastic fuck finish we've ever had in WWE history. Get it over with. Get the belt off Roman. Stop the crybabies from crying. And move on. Worst thing they can do right now, and I'm not just talking about for me, I'm not just talking about for my sanity when I dare to plumb the depths of X. I'm talking about for WWE themselves. Save yourself the headache. Don't beat Cody 2 years in a row. That's it. That's all. Hope you guys have enjoyed this. This has been the negative side. Like, we're starting at the very bottom. This is the worst shit that can happen. And we'll go up from here. We'll talk about Monday Night Raw. We'll talk about SmackDown. We'll talk about Stand and Deliver in WrestleMania. Oh, yeah. Don't have Santos and Dominic beat Ray and Dragon Lee. I didn't mention that one, but I should. Don't do that either. I've been Spaz, your YWC reality check. Subscribe up there, talk down there, start a conversation. Keep all these conversations going. Don't be a stranger. I will talk to each and every last one of you. Right now, I'm tired.